Today we're going to talk about bitterness in the garden of our heart. I would like to talk to you about a subject that is running rampant in the body of Christ, and it's bitterness. Hebrews 12:15 says, look after each other so that not one of you will fail to find God's best blessings. Watch out that no bitterness takes root among you, for as it springs up, it causes deep trouble, hurting many in their spiritual lives. Then Acts 8:22 says, repent therefore of your wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. Don't you see so much bitterness in the body of Christ? And it's not right. It's not right at all. When we see bitterness in another person, what we need to do is pray for them. They've got to go in there and fix that mess that's inside, causing all that bitterness. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. See, we shouldn't have that anywhere near us. We all need to understand that it is impossible to go through this world without being touched with injustice or heartache. And see, this is what's happened to a lot of pastors, is so much comes against them, and after a bit, they grow weary, then they get bitter, and they just drop out. We can't do that. Once we said, here I am, Lord, use me, and we pick up that cross, we have to keep going no matter what the cost. Every struggle we go through must be processed through Christ. If not, one single wounding of our soul will create a deep bitterness within us, which will poison our very existence. There are a lot of Christians who have perfected the art of looking polite while living inwardly with an angry, cynical, or resentful spirit. They have swallowed the poison of bitterness, and they are dying spiritually because of it. And why do we do that? Because as Christians, we know it is wrong to react with open anger toward people. And you know, you just need to understand that you need to get that anger out. What did Jesus do when he went into the temple? He was angry. And he let everybody know he was angry. You know, and you think, well, I can't be angry after all Jesus. Well, you look and see there was a couple of times in the Word where Jesus was angry. And he let everybody know he was angry. And he didn't mind telling the people why he was angry with them. But if a Christian does that today, people get all upset with you, don't they? And you call yourself a Christian. Yes, I do. And I've used that scripture where Jesus went into the temple too a couple of times and said, Jesus got angry, rightfully angry. So you have to have rightful anger too, just not because you're an angry person, but rightful anger. All right, why do we do that? Because as Christians, we know it is wrong to react with open anger toward people. All right, let's stop there. I used to not get angry with anybody. Excuse me, I would think, oh, I daren't be angry. So I just buried it, and it was destroying me inside. And one day God said, why don't you let that anger out? Why do you do this? So we cannot allow it to go down inside of us and cause bitterness. All right, because that is what happens. And you get angry, then you get more angry because then that person is still getting away with what they shouldn't be getting away with, and now you're bitter. Don't let that happen to you. All right, I said, but the sin builds. Instead of truly forgiving and surrendering that injustice to God, we suppress our anger. And that's just what I said. Anger is a result of perceived injustice. Suppressed anger always degrades into bitterness, which is, in reality, unfulfilled revenge. Embittered people. The Bible documents the lives of common people, individuals who experience the same kind of heartaches as we have. Some overcame wounding or loss and subsequent bitterness, while others became examples to avoid. Let's consider Naomi from the book of Ruth. All right, I'm just going to give you an example. You know, so I had water in my basement. So my daughter and I were standing there trying to figure out, she's a construction worker, trying to figure out where's the best way to sink a sump pump. Well, somebody from the outside came to visit somebody from the inside, and they came down to where we were at, and they, with a real loud voice, they started telling me how to run my house and where I should do, and I got upset. And I said, look, you take your loud mouth and go outside. I don't need your advice. We're trying to talk business here, and you're interrupting me. Well, two other members went with me. I can't believe she did that. Well, you know, he had no right to come into my house with his loud mouth telling me how to run my house. I've never seen the man before in my life. And then when he came to see, he said, I haven't seen him for 20 years, you know. So I got angry, and you know, and I just told him, I told him to shut up, to tell you the truth. Just shut up and take your loud voice outside. I mean, that's what I did. So anyhow. All right, let's consider Naomi from the book of Ruth, in Ruth 1:20. So Naomi said to them, do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. All right, the story of Naomi and Ruth is a famine in Israel led Naomi's family to migrate to Moab. Without family or friends to support her, as aliens in a foreign land, Naomi then suffered the loss of her husband. His death was followed by the death of her two grown sons. When Naomi returned to Israel with Ruth, her daughter-in-law, she announced to those who knew her, do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, which means bitter, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. The name Naomi means pleasant, but she wasn't being pleasant. She became bitter. We could imagine that when Naomi was dedicated to God as an infant, her parents prayed that her name would forecast her future. Now, however, the very opposite had occurred. Naomi was deeply embittered by her loss, to the extreme of blaming God for dealing very bitterly with her. And don't say, oh, because some of you sitting in here have done the very same thing. You get mad at God because so many things went wrong in your life. If you have ever listened to a bitter person, there is nothing pleasant about them. Yes, we should weep with those who weep, yet a bitter soul is a spirit trapped in a time warp. They live in the memory of their pain. And how many people, you people in the deliverance team, how many people do you encounter that do that and get yourself all messed up? All right, if you've ever listened to a bitter person, there is nothing pleasant about them. Yes, we should weep with those who weep, yet a bitter soul is a spirit trapped in a time warp. They live in the memory of their pain. I once worked with a woman who had suffered a difficult divorce. I talked with her often for a period of 2 years, and each time we talked, she said exactly the same things about her ex-husband. She was divorced from her husband, but now married to a bitter spirit that held her captive to her heartache. How many of you women in here might have gone through that? For Naomi, her bitterness was indirectly focused towards God. She was angry that he allowed hardship in her life. Ruth 1:21, the Lord has brought me back empty. My sorrow is God's fault. And she's not the only one that's ever said that. Contrast her life with that of Job's first encounter with loss. In Job 1, verse 1 through 22, Job lost his family and possessions, yet he bowed and worshipped. In Job 1, 21, Job said, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It is so hard to say that. Isn't it really hard to say that in truth and, you know, with a smile on your face and joy in your heart? See, well, let's be honest about it. And I don't know how Job gave it. I don't know how long it took him before he said that, but the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. How we handle sorrow reveals the depth of our worship of God. When life cuts us, do we bleed bitterness or worship? God's been trying to get us to worship more because of what's going on in the world. Job bowed and drew close to God. Naomi withdrew and talked about the Lord with her back to him. Now, when I lost my mother, I had to go to God in true worship and give him my pain because it was taking me out. God said to me, you're going to die with your mother. You're going to be among the living. See that? I know that the pain has purified and deepened my worship. My suffering has made me more compassionate toward the suffering of others. And that's, I know that's why God had me go through that, because it did cause me to have more compassion to other people when they lost loved ones. I used to say, oh, why are you crying over that? You should be rejoicing. They're in a better place. Do you know how many times I told my own self that? But I could not get past the pain of losing her. So we need to quit judging others, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation. Why? That we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Everything you go through, saints of God, is for a purpose, either good or bad. It is for a purpose, and God's going to use that somewhere in your walk with Him to minister to other people. But if you stay in bitterness and don't get through it, God can't use you. But we all know others who have suffered the sudden loss of a loved one and within weeks withdrew from God and became bitter. Adversity does not perfect character, it reveals character. Adversity does not perfect character, it reveals character. And how many of you, including me, found out your character wasn't so good sometimes when different things came into your life? And you had to go to God in repentance and ask Him to change that thing that was not pleasing to Him. So I said, adversity does not perfect character, it reveals character, it exposes what is happening inside of us. Poison. If we ingest the bitter experiences of life into our spirits, they can become a spiritual poison that destroys our thoughts, expectations, and attitudes. If we ingest the bitter experiences of life into our spirits, they can become a spiritual poison that destroys our thoughts, expectations, and attitudes. You want to know why your mind's all messed up? Right there, you ingested bitterness. You did not take the thing to God and you did not get it cleaned up in your mind, and therefore you went into bitterness. And then when you do that, your mind gets totally and completely messed up. Such an experience may enter your soul by a relational wound or injustice. It can begin through a major disappointment or loss. However, once bitterness enters a human soul, like ink spreading in a glass of water, it can darken every aspect of our existence. Now, if I had a glass of water and I poured a Coke into it, that clear glass of water would turn dark, right? So like ink spreading in a glass of water, it can darken every aspect of our existence. You know, one thing I've noticed in my walk with God is when everybody that comes in the house of God is hurting, or they've been messed up by some other church, and we need to be able to be a hospital and minister to those people, but you can't be a doctor if you're messed up. You can't be a nurse to hold hands with people if you're messed up. So you've got to get all that junk out of you. I have to work every day to keep junk out of me. I really do. Because the enemy works super hard to try to get me messed up so I can't be a true minister of the gospel to others. And some of you are saying amen. How many times have you had to go get alone and go before God and just beat the floor or stomp your foot or do something and make that enemy leave your mind, your soul, your spirit, and your body so that you can be completely whole, so you can be the vessel of honor that God wants you to be? I'm going to tell you right now, if you're truly anointed of God and you have a powerful anointing on your life, the enemy is going to fight you every day of your life, trying to get you back into his clutches. He wants to pull you out of your assignment in God. Amen. All right. Not only can bitterness ruin our lives, but Hebrews 12:15 warns us that a root of bitterness does defile many. That's Hebrews 12:15. And Hebrews 12:14 says, pursue peace with everyone and holiness, Without it, no one will see the Lord. Make sure that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no root of bitterness springs up, causing trouble and by it defiling many. Leaders, you need to get that under your belt. You need to read that till it becomes part of your mindset. If not, you're not going to make it. A spiritual root is a hidden, unresolved anger that is buried beneath the surface of our lives. Outwardly, we look properly Christian until we begin to discuss someone who hurt us. And as we speak, that root springs up and it defiles others. If you haven't dealt with your bitterness, beware when you speak to others, lest you defile them with your words. And if you are listening to an embittered person, take heed that the spirit of bitterness is not being transferred to your life as well. When I first became born again, you know, my first husband, he ran all the time. And so when I first became born again, I thought everybody in the church wanted to hear about it. So I didn't care who it was, I talked about it. And finally the pastor pulled me aside, she said, Barbara, you have to quit. You're bitter about this and you have to get it resolved and quit. People don't want to talk to you because all you talk about is the hurts that he has put on you all your life. And so I did. I did what she said and I got it resolved. And didn't bother me at all anymore. But see, somebody had to bring that to my attention. And you know, sometimes we have to do, no, every time we have to do that. When we see an embittered person, we need to tell them, hey, you know, you're in a problem here. And you need to take care of it. Are you understand? And we're so afraid to do that. Why are we afraid to do that? Because, you know, if you don't do that, one day you're going to stand before God and he's going to say, why didn't you tell that person that they were walking in bitterness? Why didn't you explain to them how to get out of that bitterness? All right, let's talk about neglect. In Genesis, we find another bitter soul in Esau, the brother of Jacob. Esau had foolishly bargained away his inheritance when he was young and then lost his father's blessing when he was old. When Esau discovered he had lost both to his brother Jacob, the Bible tells us in Genesis 27:34, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry. To lose something through our laziness or neglect can create bitterness of soul. Additionally, to have someone deceive us and take what was rightfully ours is equally as destructive. I know people who were lazy and did not esteem their education. Today they are bitter employees working for minimum wage. We all know young unwed mothers who let deceitful boys steal their virginity, which later embittered them. Even spiritual people can find themselves suffering with bitterness caused by neglect. Esau's loss made him very bitter, yet have we, like Esau, lost the more valuable elements of life because of our neglect? Have others received blessings that were earmarked for us? And has that loss created bitterness within us? All these happen all the time. I am hoping that the Lord will reveal to us these roots of bitterness that, like time-released poison, are quietly killing us. And I'm really hoping that because God had me teach on this bitterness, that each one of you are listening to what God is saying, and your little cogs are going around up here, and you're understanding that you have bitterness. You have unresolved bitterness, and you need to take it before the Father and get rid of it. I found out early on in my walk with God, if somebody really did something wrong to me, I would go and wash their feet. Because, you know, whenever you go and wash their feet, then you become their servant. And that really changes your whole attitude about that person. They might not let you do it now. But that's what God told me to do. That he said, when you wash their feet, I want you to become their servant. Anybody hurt me, that's what he would have me to do. And I never turned bitter with what they did with me. Are you understanding this? God desires to return to us our ability to love and laugh again. Let us sincerely approach the throne of God's grace and ask him to show us our hearts. We must ask him if the garden of our soul is truly free of bitter roots. And I'm hoping and I'm praying to each one of you as you were listening to that and reading the scriptures that you were searching your hearts. Not just the service, but deep down in your heart, searching your heart. Why am I bitter? Why is my mind working in confusion all the time? Why can't I love the way I should love? What is wrong? And I can guarantee you, you're going to find out there's somebody in your life that has done you harm and you've never resolved that situation and you're walking in bitterness. And this morning, what God wants to do for you, I'm hearing God say right now, anyone who lacks knowledge, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding about bitterness, as you seek him, he's going to reveal to you the very deepest part of your emotions, and he's going to show you where this bitterness root started, and he wants you to get rid of it. Today, you need to get rid of it. Church, we need to understand we're in very trying times right now. And what the enemy is trying to do is take out the church. And if you don't get bitterness resolved, he'll take you out. The church is all of us together, right? And the enemy takes you out one by one. He doesn't care what your status is. He'll work on you until he takes you out if you don't get your heart issues resolved. So this morning, God wants to work on your heart issues. He wants to touch you with his healing touch and get rid of that bitterness. He wants to bring it to the service so you can say, here it is, God, take it from me. So the altar is open for that reason.